And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, here and declare your independence. I'm here to Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, we had some fun first couple of hours and getting all geekified up and everything. We're going to get continue the geeking here along with Mr. Doug Scribner. Doug Smoothie. Doug Scribner has been a friend for a long time from the beginning of crypto space and doing all kinds of interesting things and doing well. Had a health scare there for a while, but now he's okay. So it's good to have Doug around. And Ernesto, CryptoSpace.us. They're working together on a project. First thing we want to talk about, make sure we get this in, about Vault Logic. Vault Logic is an ATM for crypto and cash, and it has a lots of, you know, I know he's been working on this for a while. How far along are we, Doug? Tell us every little old thing.
Well, the ATMs are our production model, if you will, the one, the big one that we have designed with the partner that has all the important bells and whistles, has just been released, and the first 10 of them have been shipped here to the crypto space. And I can give you a little video tour if we want a little bit later, but it's going quite well. The first one was installed at Simon Malls. There's a Simon Mall property here in it's Del Amo Fashion Mall in California, Southern California, and there's 6 to 7 more going into other high profile Simon Mall properties. So this is a big deal. And that relationship came from Ernesto and the crypto space.
But all right, Ernesto, tell me, you know, how'd you get involved with Doug, and you got places to put ATMs? How'd that happen?
Yeah. So I met some of Doug's team down in Acapulco 2 years ago. He was talking about Ethereum and then ended up researching, you know, what the most advanced ATM I could use to help expand our network here in California. And that's when I ran into the Vault Logic ATM. And luckily, my fiance Stacy, who was also at Acapulco, found him on Facebook. We connected, and Doug got the first F300, the first model, at our grand opening last year, right before the day of the opening. So it was awesome. It all started with an Acapulco. That's how we got to meet Doug.
You know, I think I remember the grand opening last year. You had a demonstration model that you were going over on video. Is that the one we're talking about, Doug?
Yeah, in fact, it's funny, Ernesto. The connections are even deeper than that. So, yeah, that's the demo model. That's the F300. Same one in Jeffrey Tucker's Atlanta Bitcoin Embassy. So, and that's how the connection happened. So, Libertopia, right?
Yeah.
Last year, you were there, and Ernesto and Stacy were there, and so they met Jeffrey Tucker, and Jeffrey said, "Yeah, we got this great ATM from Vault Logic. We just put it in April." And then, as they're driving home from Libertopia, they call me and say, "Can we get one of your ATMs too?" I'm going, "Who are you guys? I don't know who you are." But we talked, and we realized that we needed a home for one of our units. They said they had this great space, this great lounge here, and I said, "Yeah, sure, let's make it happen." So we're driving home from Libertopia. A connection from Jeffrey Tucker. You were there at Libertopia, right?
Yeah, I remember. I remember. You were having shipment problems. Federal Express were, you know, doing it like a pet detective and kicking in the box around or something. So
it was always a delivery nightmare. That was the four of these F300s got delivered. The shipping company switched trucks, and it was just, oh man, we had to have repair crews down there, but we got all of them fixed and figured out. So those are the smaller ones, 300s, that you know, we have it in Nesto.
Now, explain to the audience what you're talking about, because this isn't just a crypto ATM. This is like a cash ATM and a crypto ATM in the same unit, but they're hard barriered between so that the regulation of compliance is something. Explain that to me.
Sure. So the Vault Logic machine, the ATM, is the first ever, and I don't think there's anyone else doing this in the market, where they have combined, we have combined a traditional fiat, regular, legacy ATM service and functions with a modern BTM that also does, oh, by the way, 8 cryptos at this point. So we combined those in the same chassis. So one of the complaints was, well, how do I buy Bitcoin with my ATM card? Well, you got to go to your ATM, pull out cash, find some unlocal Bitcoins. So one of our easy workarounds was to pull your cash out of the ATM side and put it right back in on the crypto side. And you've got an ownership. The person has pulled the cash out. They've held it. It's their cash from their bank, and they've got it. And then you put it right back in the same machine on a different acceptor area. Now, that functionality with the ATM is going to be coming online soon, but it is a completely functional BTM, which has Bitcoin, Dash, Ethereum, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ravencoin, Tox, To Give. We'll be adding Gemini dollars on the path as well.
Okay, now Raven, we were paying attention to Raven, there for a while, and I'm gonna pull up a picture of it. I got Vault Logic up here, but I want to pull up a picture for the audience. But Raven was all that they go, hey Ernie, take a look at Raven. It's all this privacy stuff you've been talking about. It's all I go look at it and kind of push, try to get the guys on. I just it just didn't come together to where. How are they? What's going on?
Oh well, we implemented a Raven coin first. Strategic reasons, the Medici Venture team over there, Overstock.com project is great. So we have the coin on there. I don't know much, I don't know a ton about the coin itself, the development, the privacy features. It's a coin that we have on our machine. We're working with the developers, and they're excited to have it hosted on there as well.
Okay. So you got how many, cryptos on there and some of these, because one of the traits of Raven was that it's kind of a secret and kind of not Monero kind of thing. I mean, you got an ATM with cash on one side, you got a crypto and none your business on the other. I'm wondering how the man's looking at that. Do you include Monero?
Well, remember, Ernie, this is a very regulated area. The man is looking at it really close, and we have to be completely compliant. This is not I can buy $1,000 of Bitcoin without putting any ID or my phone number in.
Yeah.
We have to put IDs and phone numbers and everything in there. We can do it for, just the phone number for less than $300. That's fine. But, once you have the coin, that's your coin, that's your property. You can do what you want with it.
Yeah, after they get your phone number. I'm hip, but it's got my ATM. I can go right there and do my banking with my fiat and my crypto at one machine is what you're saying.
Right, right.
Yeah, and the reason that it makes sense for us is just – since here at Crypto Space, we're a brick and mortar OTC desk, so people can come in, buy and sell instantly for any amount. I mean, you can use your imagination, we can settle instantly. So when we met Doug and the capabilities of this unit, we, had a strategic partnership and decided to, help with, onboard our already large client base in there, our whales, if you will, to be able to vault the cash, move the cash, transition, have arbitrage opportunities with the dollars. So in conjunction with Vault Logic's, hardware and software, with our built-in client base, liquidity, these ATMs, our national contract with Simon, we technically, for our B2B clients where we're going to put these units, they can do up to $600,000 transactions at a time.
What?
And that's why we partnered up with them. That's because those are transactions we're already doing. So we need a safe and compliant way, just because we are in California, to do these transactions, because we're a brick and mortar location. We don't want to be a target. So this is an extension of us, so that there's more crypto spaces in other locations and people could do $500,000 plus transactions.
Wow. We have ATMs here in the Valley, and there was one FBI went to a place and they said, it's legal. We just want to know what kind of people they are. It's legal. So don't worry about us. We're just checking on you. You know, I'm just wondering what kind of compliance. Sounds like you guys are all compliant. We're going to find out when we come back. Sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Looking for...
Yeah, I got to get all the pirate stuff in. Okay, now what I'm looking at here is the way, when we come back, I'm going to describe this as Ernesto has a brick and mortar locations of cryptospaceus.com. So your crypto spaces, you have the one or you have multiple?
So we have, cryptospaceus.com. So cryptospaceus.com. We have the first location lounge here in San Pedro. And then we have an affiliate location in Inglewood, right next to the new stadium, and that's called Crypto Blockchain Plug. That's a sister location where people can do OTC trades, and there'll be another unit there. So right now we have the location in San Pedro and an affiliate location in Inglewood.
Okay. So Ernie, I'm wondering if Ernie, can you see me on the video? Because I want to show you something amazing.
Yeah, right, let me. Right? I'm running some graphics. Hold on a second. Let me get back to you.
Sure.
Boom, boom. Yeah, go.
So here are 8 Vault Logic machines. Can you see these?
Yep.
And we've got our guys here working on getting them ready to be deployed to high-profile Simon Wall. And if I can do this video during live if you'd like. Here.
Yeah, just hold it there. We'll come back in just a minute. But
okay.
Yeah, you got to keep talking because so it'll stay on you.
Oh, I see.
So he asked me a question, then it comes back to me, you know, and I don't see it. But the we're going to come back in about 15 seconds, and you can give us a tour there real quick. The problem, you know, what I want to make sure that people understand what's happening here is this is, you're talking big amounts and large limit, and I guarantee freaking tell you, there's some KYC of money laundering kind of, you know, we're freaking compliant, you know. So I just want to make sure people understand it. All right, here we're coming back.
It's the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
As you brush your shoes. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Okay, Doug Scribner has got some video to show us. Go ahead and show us tell us what we're looking at here, Doug.
All right, so right now I'm in the one of the rooms of the crypto space back here, and behind me are 8, let me think about it, 8 of our F400 ATMs that we're getting ready to ship out to, you know, high-profile Simon Mall locations. We're talking Ontario Mills. We're talking one down in Laguna Beach. We're talking the Crystal Shops in Vegas. We're talking the Outlet Place, Caesar's Palace. Yep, these are, you know, just beautiful machines.
So Simon Malls is a one central command of we own whatever, and you worked out a deal, and you go, hey, can we put them in? They go, yes, you can. We got these locations and knock stuff out.
So actually, it's a little more than that. CryptoSpace has a national contract with Simon Mall. So Simon Group is a property management company. It's a $54 billion property management company that's in all 50 states, about 222 locations in the United States, another 40-some locations internationally. CryptoSpace is the very first crypto company ever to have a partnership deal with Simon Malls. They don't have partnership deals with anyone.
Okay, so we're talking big properties, large public spaces. The draw is, hey, there's a really cool ATM, BTM machine in the mall of whatever the hell, and we're going to go there and do some business, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not only that, imagine in the last pump in the Christmas of 2017 when Bitcoin was $20,000, you couldn't even log into an exchange. Everything with Kraken was shut down. You couldn't get your crypto. You were locked out. You couldn't buy it. You couldn't sell it.
Okay, that's a
but
question.
Now,
for...
now the next pump, they can pull out the crypto, go Christmas shopping.
All right. Says you. Okay. So let's go all to right. Doug. Now we go to this. Now, are these malls going to be kind of inclined to start accepting cryptos?
Well, that's the hope, isn't it? That's the hope for all of us. This is our way to get a toehold. And we're working on, some of the for example, gift card abilities of these machines. And if we can sell gift cards from the machines with cash at the various stores, they're going to be really excited about saying, well, wait a minute. We always were talking about this Bitcoin thing. Maybe we can start doing that. And then they can send people to the machine to buy Bitcoin, give them whatever discount they want for using crypto or something else, or, you know, or maybe what if Simon Malls comes up with their own crypto or something like this? There's all kinds of ways and possibilities that this is going to be helping everybody.
Oh, hell no. You have a mall, you know, has its own crypto with a discount. That's like Berkshire's. Remember that? You got the discount using the community money in Pennsylvania, the whatever back in the day before Joby started doing mountain hours and all that other crap.
Oh, yeah. Ithaca hours.
Right. You know, this is okay. So you're in.
So the thing also is just that most people, they hear Bitcoin on the news. Usually it's something negative. Some Jamie Dimon saying it's a fraud. All they hear is negative stuff, right? But now they're shopping and they're like, whoa, what is this thing? What is this giant, beautiful machine? And it's awesome. And it does all these things. So now they're getting impressions. They see it every day. They go to the mall every week. It's a reminder that it's real, that it's here.
No, it's just like when they had ATMs like this, they had vendor machines in Saudi Arabia and Dubai that you could get grams of gold at. And I go, yep, and you put crypto in there and I get grams of gold, man. The loop is closed, you know, so I'm like, okay. So now what the machine does, though, is that in its design, I remember it being a big deal about getting compliance with the, you know, they, them, those banking regulation industry of whatever the hell, to where you can go up and do what you're talking about. We can do big, giant transactions, and I'm going, yeah, but they're going to want a DNA anal probe retina scan or something, you know, and your phone number or pictures or whatever the hell. Well, but you're going, yeah, whatever. If you want to get private, you can do that after. This is an easy way for grandma just button of I got crypto and I'm doing my banking. So when you do the cash banking, is it in a lot of these other systems that I can go to any convenience store and get my cash out of my Bank of America or whatever and then put it right back into the same machine and get crypto? Or can I do it directly or do I got to have that physical separation thing?
Physical separation. The way it's designed in the whole system is that people have to take custody, those are important words, of their own money, right? They take custody of their own money by choosing to pull money out of the ATM from their bank. Now, once they have custody of the physical cash in their hands, now it's theirs, and they can put it right back in on a different side and buy crypto. So we've got a degree of separation. Yes, that is
okay.
Correct.
So they put their bank card into the machine. They get cash out, they take half a step back and then step back up, and they put it in, and they get
new transaction. New transaction.
See, because I remember last year when we talked about this, it was when you open up the machine, there's an actual physical barrier. Because I'm going, one of the big problems with cryptos is that they're putting, you know, cash and in or out, or it's short of cash, but it's short, or short of crypto, or it's back and forth. And then they do incentives. You get a better deal if you go and put in cash or put in crypto or whatever, trying to keep them balanced. And this, I'm going, well, you got an ATM and a, you know, and a BTM. Well, heck, you got the cash right there. No, you're not allowed to do that. You got to physically go down and take the cash in it, put it over here, log down to whatever. So even though it could be done, the banking system is you're not allowed to do it, right?
See, but this is the banking itself. You don't have to do that. Let's just say the machine has way too much money, right?
Yeah.
One of our onboarded clients, I could be like, hey, guys, who wants a negative 2% exchange rate? They're like, I want a negative 2% exchange rate. Cool. I will buy your Bitcoin, and for every $100, I'll give you 102. All this could even be done on the back end, and they just walk up.
No, I understand. I've seen that done now, but I'm going, you have a solution that's right freaking there. People have put it into the ATM part, and it just go in and do it, and they go, no, you got to go in and physically do it. But that's where you guys got the edge, because you're compliant with all this crap.
Yeah.
All right. Right. And right. I call it crap, Doug. It's a bunch of crap.
I know you do.
But you,
I understand.
But you guys are on. You got it taken care of, and you're in the freaking mall. So this is right. And what are you, Ernesto, you're talking about limits like there isn't any. I can go in with my pallet of cash.
Sure. It's select B2B locations with proper security and privacy. You could walk up in there with, obviously, you would pre-KYC, like open an account at cryptospaceus.com, and I call it a private KYC. When I mean private, meaning that nothing's on a computer, so the government can't hack it, the Fed, the hackers can't hack it. Your information is old school on paper in a private locked file off-site, which I maintain the records for the legal minimum 7 years. After that transaction, they're gone. So I call it a private KYC. I'm on board, but I also don't want to.
Okay. I need to. All right, Doug, I got a question. Now, Doug, now we're friends, man. Don't be BSing me here, all right? All right. I go in and I do a transaction. How much? And I know it's KYC. I got my, you know, senior corporate buddy approved Dave retina scan or whatever. I go in and I do a $20,000. US dollar value Bitcoin transaction, how much information is on me that I did that?
Well, for that amount, you would be KYC, which means you would have given Ernesto, you would have given him your ID to begin with.
Okay, now, up to how much are they, how far do I got to go down that they don't know anything?
Well, you can do $300 with a phone number, but basically.
Okay, so they're still, they're knowing.
Up to 100,000 with just an ID. If you're going to do more than 100,000, then we need a little more information.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll get to the details on that.
Are you tired of...
Okay, the details on this is what I'm talking about. To use your... If I'm going to ATM with my Bank America card or whatever, they know. I mean, I'm using their card and their machine, and they know. So then I'm going, okay, who's they? Does it go directly into the man? So when I use your machine... They know. And who's they?
No,
I mean...
No, they don't. They don't.
No one knows.
Yeah, if they... If
well, you say you need a phone number? Why am I giving you a phone number?
Listen, Ernie, listen. Ernesto has to be compliant, which means he has to keep records. In case there's a subpoena or a kidnapping or somebody's being held hostage or for ransom, right? So he has to keep those records. And those records cannot be... grabbed by the man. They're not automatically grabbed at all. There's no list. But if you
what did I just hear? What do I got just freaking yesterday? You know, Coinbase, well, a third party of kind of, we're so sorry, and everybody knows everything that's gone.
Yeah,
and,
Coinbase sucks.
How are you any different? What, you got a third party of kind of, they put a gun to your head, and they do the lava bit thing, and you shall comply?
Listen. So this is the thing, Ernie. Crypto space is fully capitalized. We are, it's us. There's no one else. So our KYC is a private KYC with our own coin, with our own money. So if anyone needs anything, it's under subpoena.
Right.
Well, so it's private.
The only way the
are you going to tell us? Are they going to go Patriot Act? Are you going to tell us? Are you going to tell us that, you know, kind of like shapes what Eric's doing? He goes, yep, we just put up here. Every time they request, we put it up. Are you going to do that? Huh? Huh? Are you?
What is it?
Let's Eric Voorhees. We lean the same way, and I respect people's privacy. And pretty much, I'm going to do the most, I guess you could say, the least amount I got to do before.
No. I understand. This is what's going on, Doug. Eric Voorhees, they come in, they do the KYC, and you got to have an account now. And I didn't want to do it, but I got to do it, and we're doing it. So then he goes, whenever there's a request from any government or law enforcement, they put on their website all the requests that they've made for this KYC stuff. You know, so they go, yep, you want to know, here's the request. You didn't say I couldn't put it up there. I'm putting it up there. Bite me. Now, of course, they don't like it. And God knows what Eric is doing in his fifth rendition of The Man Can Suck It. I'm sure he's off doing something because that's just Eric. But the thing is that in this space and what you guys are doing, it is has always been, do we comply or not? Do we make it, you know, grandma just buttony? Are we going to go mainstream adoption and all this other crap? And I go, two things. You want mainstream adoption. I don't give a crap whether they approve it or not. It's got to be grandma just button easy. So now you make it grandma just button easy for the ATM and the crypto in the mall. But to do that, you got to be as compliant as they're going to put a gun to your head and make you. Okay? So you go, all right, I'm that compliant. Do I got to be extra compliant, a little more compliant? Not if I don't have to and I can get away with it, okay? So it's like, you know, that's, I understand. I just want to make sure the audience understands that when they're using your machine, there is some paperwork filled out with somebody who's got an account of something somewhere. So when those, which sooner or later, you know, I'm sitting there counting, you know, dreading the days, you know, up until the seventh, you know, year when you can destroy everything. And I go, yay, I made it, you know? But the thing is that what are they doing now? All the guys that bought in early at Coinbase, you know, now they got it, you know, which was never a doubt in my mind anyway, sooner or later or whatever, which I would assume with you guys, you may not be willing or super compliant or want to, you know, get on steroids and get your, you know, China citizenship score up or some crap, you know, but, you know, that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. I just want the people to, you know, be fully informed here. I don't want to be sending down the path. All right, here we're coming back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
American woman, stay away from me.
Yeah, American woman, get that anal probe away from me. You know, you got to be, you know, compliant. You know, if you're going to be, you know, wide adoption, well, you don't have to be. I'm like, eh, you know. That, you know, what happens, though, is here you're in a mall. You have a ATM that can deal with the banking system of your cash. You got a crypto machine that you can do all your crypto, you know, right there, your BTM, whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm going, all right, so you got that, you know, and we have vaultlogic.com, vault, like in a vault, you know, like a safe, vaultlogic.com. LOGIC.com. And if you're got a location, they can contact you and say, put me in. Are you even talking to little mom and pa stores? Or you're like, no, it's got to be a mall. It's got to be at, you know, Yosemite Park. It's got to be at whatever the heck it's got. What's your criteria for putting this in?
Well, the criteria is basically agreements upon security. Like you must have a camera system. These machines weigh 600 pounds. They're bolted to the floor. And even if you wrap a chain around it and pulled it with your F-150 truck, that it would break the machine in half, you know, before it would pull the bolts out. I mean, certainly there's ways of robbing the damn thing. This is going to be an issue, of course, with any ATM company. Yeah. But no, we require a certain amount of agreed upon insurance, a certain amount of security with cameras, and you know, but we vet those locations. So yeah. By the way, Ernesto has a place that's kind of like a Monpa bodega, right, Ernesto? Is that right?
Yeah. So we're putting where there's a need. We have like the first seven going to select Simon locations, but we also have some going to where there's a need because a lot of our clients come from far away to come all the way to crypto space to get safe, private KYC, instant transactions, and they drive a long time. So I'm just going where my clients are. They say, hey, there's a huge need in Orange County. We're going to put one there. There's a huge need in Compton. We're going to put one there.
And no, I'm hip, man. I'm hip. Now
I'm where the need is.
Well, this is what my question is. When they're going to the mall, or you got a place where this is going, and you go, we're just going to go put it there. Is there a piece of paper that you need from somebody or something that's saying you can? And what is their mindset? How hard is that application process? How long does it take? What are you having to do to comply?
Well, as far as for Simon, they got to be able to know that the company that's going in there can roll out nationwide. So if they say, hey, we want 200, we got to have that liquidity and the manufacturing power to do it.
Okay, no, that's to who? To Simon or to the government?
Oh, that's to Simon.
Okay, no, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking, okay. That's a private deal. Simon's saying, yeah. Hey, man, can you give us these 8 billion? Yep, we got them right here, and they're done. Go ship them, we're done. And
oh,
I go,
okay, yeah, yeah.
In that process of those 8, what government paperwork did you have to fill out, comply with, or whatever to do those 8?
Yeah, so you have to be registered as a money services business, number one. And unfortunately, when you register as a money services business, it's very difficult to keep a bank account. So it's like a catch-22, right?
Yeah.
Don't register, go to jail, register, you don't have banking.
Right.
But that's the first step. And then the second step is that you have to have your own liquidity. You can't use a third party to acquire someone else's assets. So you have to have Bitcoin sitting on the shelf, and you have to have dollars sitting on the shelf.
So where'd all this money come from? Where's all the, you bought at 37 cents, what?
No. We've been in it since 2012. Lost a lot of crypto along the way. Probably lost everything more than twice. Probably like over 95% of our crypto we lost.
Mt. Gox,
BTCE, crypto there. Scammed on eBay, Craigslist, PayPal. Sent Bitcoins to the abyss. Never backed up my passwords. Every mistake someone can make. We made every single one. But that's the thing. We know hundreds of ways how not to do crypto. And when 2017, I gambled and I went all in on alts. All in. And then I read this tweet, and it said, it was on Christmas, and it said, if you've been in crypto longer than a year, and you haven't, A, gotten out of debt, started a business, paid off your mortgage, your kid's college tuition, you're being irresponsible. At the time, Bitcoin was like 18.5, and I freaked out, and I'm like, oh my God, and I sold. Because I wanted to, I had developed this business model, and this business model, to be compliant, required a lot of float, Look,
why did you want to do this, though? Why would you want to be a provider of this service? What was the motivation for that?
The motivation wasn't that I wanted to buy and sell crypto and make my percentage. The motivation was that I didn't want the same thing that happened to me to happen to other people. So I opened a brick and mortar place that was focused mostly on education, to teach people, to onboard people, to so they can learn from all our mistakes. And if they like the personal touch, the private, and it's all free, by the way, interactions, then you know what? If they choose to buy Bitcoin with us instead of Coinbase, we appreciate the business, but they don't have
to. So Doug, how did Ernesto, what did he fill in the gap in? Just having a place, the enthusiasm of wanting to place the machines? Because your thing before you met him was making the machine and then doing what? You were just hoping Ernesto would pop up?
No, well, our business model has always been a deployer model, right? Sort of. So we build the machines and we work on the software and the hardware. But we depend upon deployers who say, I have a location. That's the whole model. That's the way most Bitcoin ATM companies work, is they don't necessarily have the relationships with every pizza place and every 7-Eleven and every mall, but they have deployers, like Ernesto is one of our deployers. They're the guys who have the Simon Mall companies, and they're the ones who have these beautiful spaces on the video I'm showing right now, this crypto space, which has 2 stories, back room, poker machines, you know, with the...
Oh, where is this?
This is in San Pedro, California, and it's just, you know, quite lovely with the couches.
San Pedro don't mean nothing to me. I know San Diego, L.A., and freaking San Francisco. Where are you closest?
It's the largest port of in the world, I believe, is the Los Angeles
port.
This is where San Pedro is based, right on top of. So another benefit of Ernesto's place is that when the cruise ships come in, they walk into the little beach town of San Pedro.
And they drop them off.
So you're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
And then
you get all you guys do that, all these little towns and everything. I go, yeah, I'm in Avondale over here. You don't know what the hell Avondale is.
Yeah, you know?
So, all right. So here you're in L.A. area, and you got a place, Crypto. How busy are you guys on a, you know, off night? You don't have some event. Is people always coming by saying, yo, what's up?
Yeah, so most of our business is B2B, like liquidating for Bitcoin miners.
B2B. What's B2B mean? You keep
saying
that.
Business to business.
Okay.
Like business to business. So like payment processors, holding companies, focused in California, international. That's our bread and butter. But people come in every day. What's Bitcoin? And I'm like, hey, just have a seat. And like 3 hours go by and they know all about the Federal Reserve and the fraud of the dollar. And they ask me, was Bitcoin?
Yeah, and you're
I said, no, it wasn't. That's how little your dollar was worth.
Nah, if you open up their shirt and you see the wires from the FBI.
So,
Come on. Tell me about, you know, they're keeping, you guys are having to walk the tightrope, man. Tell me about it.
Hey, it's true, Ernesto. It's or Ernie. See, I got to get your name straight because you have the same name once in Spanish. So, yeah, hey, it's totally true. In fact, Ernesto has, you know, has had some. I'll let you tell a story, Ernesto.
Tell me your story. Tell me a story. Which one?
We got.
I know. Just give me one good one.
Oh, with people coming in here trying to. Oh, I guarantee.
Yeah, there's a line of them. You know, they recognize each other. It's my turn.
90% of our business. 90% of our business. We'll have people come in here and say like, "Hey, I want to pay you $100,000 in cash in Bitcoin. Here's my email address: joker@18thstreet.com. My friend Joker is gonna come and drop it off. We don't want to do ID. Is that okay?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Like, and you think we're obvious?" Or they come with the backpack. I got all this cash. Can we do a transaction?
I am not a Russian heroin dealer. Yeah, that's what they did with Morpheus. I am Russian heroin dealer. Yeah, right. Russian heroin dealers go around saying that.
They've been trying. No.
And that's one thing they did in the trial here. They kept saying, they're going, well, the judge goes, that Bitcoin's perfectly legal. Not Bitcoin. That's not the problem. Not the problem. But they want to get you to say something. They want you to get itty bitty little kind of get some. But when you're compliant and outside, I don't know. Is Jamie Dimon going to want his crypto on your machine?
Jamie Dimon closed our bank account and froze $100,000 of our dollar.
Wait. When did they do that?
So, you know what? I'll come out publicly with this just because I'm a little upset. So.
Well, wait. Understand. You're not on the air right now.
Yeah, you're in the archive. Well, which might be better. I don't know. I mean, you want to go out on the live show?
No. We'll just let you know. I'll wait to see. I want to get my money back before I piss them off even more. But yeah.
Okay, it's recorded, but go ahead. Tell me.
Either way. Later on. So it's all pay to play with these banks. It's all pay to play. So pretty much it's just, I need higher wire limits. And they're like, oh, deposit $100,000 into your bank account and we'll give you higher wire limits. Okay, sure. The moment I deposited an extra $100,000 in my bank account, they froze it. It's done. It's been about 2 weeks. And they said, cross your fingers that you get it back. If anyone deposits one ACH, if any client tries to deposit anything, the 10 days resets. It's been a couple weeks. They're holding my money hostage. And then they announced that they're announcing the JP Morgan coin. Pay to play. It's a true story. My money's
broken. No, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong.
Yeah. And then the thing that's so terrible is that they asked me, my personal banker said, hey, deposit more money so we can.
Of course they do. This is go. Can you weather this kind of crap? Because, you know, you got them. See, it's almost. Yeah. See, it's just like with all the social media thing. They go at you for they shadow ban or they demonetize or they get you all strung out and overhead and then they screw you. And then JP Morgan comes out with, you know, their coin or GoldmanSachs.gov coin or some bullshit like that.
And get this, 2 days later, my son, who has a Wells Fargo account, he's a minor, by the way, 17 years old, who shares the same name I do, lost his bank account. How did that happen?
So that's one thing we're trying to do. We want to get these machines out there so there's an alternative to all the people who get
bypassed
by the banks.
This is one of the solutions to get people out of the banking system while kind of...
Oh, come on, Doug! That's why they come after you! Oh, we need to be the solution against the banks because they suck! Oh, that wouldn't be a reason why they want to shut us down! Are you kidding me? Of course that's why you're targeted!
Possibly.
But that's why these units, our solution to bypass the banks is give away free money. Instead of paying those banks off or paying off Brinks, you know what? Hey, take money out of your own bank accounts, and we'll give you 1 or 2% off that money. It's not illegal to
leave. You know, the thing is that, you know, the crypto space, the biggest thing, in my opinion, has been it's been a victim of its own success. And for all the reasons that we know that it would be better and it's faster and it's – and the one thing I just had Paul Poy on last week, and I, for years I've been on his ass, and I go, this is what I need. I need a crypto wallet that when I spend it, it automatically buys it again for me. It's so easy to spend it, it's more difficult to get it. And I go, if I could just have the where it buys whatever amount that I got, plus 25%. I mean, I'll hook it up to some bank account, whatever. You give me that option, it automatically keeps replenishing when I use it. You know, I'd be so much wealthier now because I keep spending it because it's so damn easy. Oh, I need to be able to replenish it too. And that's what they, them, those are going to be freaked out about, is because it's so easy. You're going, yeah, but we're just serving humanity.
That's an excellent idea. Actually, crypto space is building a Telegram trading bot where you...
All right, here we're coming back. Here we go.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You don't know how lucky you are.
Yeah, I want to get this one in.
Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the U.S.S.R.
Yeah, are they free or do we got to go to Moscow? You know, I don't know. I mean, this is all the comparison's going to be. You know, we'll see. Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. So I'm going, all right, this is going to be so much easier when we have ATMs that we can interface with our bank and do our crypto in the same machine, stand there at the mall. And the man's just going, we're so glad that humanity is better served, and we just love Vault Logic and, you know, and Crypto Space, U.S., and we're just loving on you because you're serving humanity so much better, so we're going to leave you alone. Is that what's going to happen? Is that what's going to happen, Doug? Come on. Is that what's going to happen?
We hope so, of course. You know, that's saying hey, with the proof that we're compliant, with the proof that we've got, and Ernesto's been challenged by federal agents, right? And he has shown them his compliance program, how he carefully seasons the coins and the cash, and they say, huh, yep, you're doing it right. This is one of the reasons.
Damn it, you're doing it right, you know?
I know.
And then they came in here. Fincen's been here a couple times already. They audited our systems. And they're like, yeah, we hold our coin for 30 days before we even spend it. We hold our cash for 30 days before we do it. We treat it like property. And we leave our minimum balances in the bank. We play by. We try to keep everyone fed. But unfortunately, that
doesn't matter. And they close your account.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But in a way, this is why it's a perfect partnership with Vault Logic. Vault Logic is focusing. What they do best is, like, you guys build an awesome machine, awesome software, awesome tech, awesome idea. Hey, you don't have to try to reinvent the wheel with the whole compliance side. We're already in exchange, right?
Okay. No. I understand. So you're compliant. You got it going on. And then you have a mall, a real estate developer, owner of whatever, and you got malls, and you're putting around the country, North America, you're going into these malls. And I'm wondering, what kind of liability do they have? What kind of attention do they got? What kind of visits do they get?
Well, they specifically want, they're very forward thinking. They want to be the first in crypto, period. There's press releases coming out soon.
Jamie Dimon wants him to be first in crypto, and you're so freaking not allowed. Was it Jamie Dimon's with what bank?
JP Morgan.
Is that the bank that closed your account?
Yep.
Boom!
That's the bank that's holding our money. Right after the announcement, like days afterwards.
Oh, God. You know, see, this is my point. This is what validates your success. If you're doing what you accomplished here and you come to the attention of important people and, you know, live an interesting life, you know, you must be doing it right because, damn it, they're pissed off. So I'm going, all right. So what's the deployment dates, Doug? Tell me what your schedule is of when this stuff's getting out.
Well, we've got the first one has been, it was installed Saturday, like what, 3 days ago at the El Amo Simon Mall. There's another one going into, there's one right here. Look at this. Here's the one at the crypto space. It's bolted to the ground here, and it's got, we have the same ad screen the Simon Mall has. And then we've got about seven more going out in the next 3 weeks, I'd say, to other mall properties and some Vegas locations. Now, that's going to be about 10 of our big boys here, which are.
Okay, wait. When you do in Vegas?
Probably within 30 days or so.
I want to go. Okay, yeah. This is the deal. We have like Kingsley Edwards up there, and God, there was somebody else that we were doing a meetup thing with. And Josh Segerson, I think, lives up there on a regular basis.
Meyer lives there.
You know, so we want to go. We got all kinds of crap going on here and all pirated and stuff that we're doing, playing pirate. Now, a Narcozona, they're doing March 30th here, and some guys from Vegas and L.A. or something are coming to that. And so I want to get, you know, to Vegas, and we're doing some hackerspace stuff here. We just had in the first and second hour today, and there's a lot of things that we want, all our pirate stuff. So we do pirate communication, of pirate money, of communicating prices with our being pirate, and we can go meet with some of the guys up there, some of the things that we're doing. When you do the installation in Las Vegas, let me know. I'll do whatever I can to promote it and pimp it and go and live show it or something, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. There's actually going to be a specific, a very special B2B, a business-to-business unit that's only hundreds that will do $100,000 minimum orders. That's a very special unit in an undisclosed location, which would be glad to be invited to go take for a test drive.
You're so screwed. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? This is, you know, I this is awesome, and I just can't imagine the awesomeness that you have, and you're allowed to be awesome. You're so freaking not allowed to be awesome. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, this is how, it's like, you know, working with, in the early years with Cody Wilson, we did everything we could to keep him on to talk, because all the stuff that he was challenging and doing, the man didn't like, you know? And I go, you got to be top of mind. You got to be out front. You got to be, and then sooner or later, they'll get you on something anyway. But, you know, I'm going, all right, I want to help you guys by giving you, you know, up-to-minute, often updated coverage of regular, here we go, and they, them, those know that they're going to be followed in every roadblock that they put up. Because I think this is awesome, and I want to help, and that's the only way that I think I can be of the most use, is just to make sure that you get a lot of coverage in the process so that you highlight what you're able to accomplish and what they don't want you to accomplish. So
absolutely, we can schedule our next large order of 100,000 plus, and you can do it live right there, and you can see it happen.
All right, I'm in.
Ernie? Yeah. The idea is that there's going to be some public, you know, some well-publicized publicity stunt where somebody goes and sells $500,000 worth of Bitcoin Cash, and the machine just, and these machines are all bank-grade recyclers, just spits out hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you've got a lot.
No, wait! Time out! You're saying that there's going to be actual hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash in there that it can disperse?
In select locations, secure locations, yes.
Okay, so you go through a man trap or something.
I'm going to play some poker. I'm going to double down. I'm going to get $500,000 of poker chips, go to the cage, cash them out, go there and buy me $500,000 of Bitcoin Cash.
Oh, no freaking way. You guys are so done, man. This is so do you guys have, you have the casinos, you know, the, see, that's one thing. In Vegas, it's we got to go to the gaming commission, of this federal, of the FBI, of the blah, blah. They're all the same people, man. You know, if, you know, somebody's a made guy and they say, we're doing it, then you're doing it, you know? So that's kind of the situation you're in. They're going, nope, we are going to do it. And guess who we have to ask? Me. You know, so is that where you're at?
Exactly. I mean, we're capitalized, we're compliant. There's that, we got a letter from the Deputy Commissioner of the State of California pretty much saying that, I mean, they can't stop us because we're doing it the right way. So,
yeah, this week.
Doug, you built us a Lambo, and we are going to run it to the ground and get you some trophies.
There you go.
All right, Doug. So you feeling good about this? You guys got, you know, machines on, you know, the production of the actual machines, you know, how many can you, because if this goes and they let you, I mean, this is a floodgate, man. You guys are able, you put these up and you show these eight and oh my God, you do something in Vegas. You're not going to be able to make enough machines fast enough.
That's the hope. And yeah, we do have, you know, we've got X number of machines, you know, over 50 of them standing by to be put together. Within the next couple of months. And then once we get orders and more interest, then we're going to be able to make our prices go down because we'll have assembly lines going. That's what we're hoping to happen. And this sort of publicity that the crypto space offers us is the perfect sort of partnership to get.
Well, everything is off the shelf, I would imagine, except maybe the case.
Well, yeah, of course. Everything is you know, stuff that you can buy all over the place. And the case is incredibly thick steel, too, by the way. It's not like a, you know, some of the other Bitcoin ATMs you see that
are
made.
Are you got a supply of that? You're good? Because I know where you can get that done. I'm just, you know, you good on that part?
Yeah, we are totally good, although we're always looking for other manufacturing partners, possibly.
Well, so one of my sons, my son that had the Bitcoin Cash's King race car, I don't know if you remember the winged car, you know, that had Bitcoin Cash on it, you know, the Pirates outboard, you know, that's my son that had that race car, and he's a big miner and all that kind of stuff, but he's also the site director of a big manufacturing place that makes that kind of casing, you know, like the robots for Intel to make the silicon chips and all that. So I'm going, he's always, you know, he's like, yeah, we can make whatever you got, something like that, you need, you let me know, you run into problems, get you hooked up. Okay.
All right, I do not, that's what I'm talking about.
Everything else is off the shelf. It's making that case, and they start screwing with you. You know, then you just let me know, and the community will help you out.
Ernest, so get this: if we had 900 units sitting there, built, waiting to deploy, we could install them tomorrow. They want 900.
Who does?
Simon.
Simon if Ball. I had 900
oh units my God. Them,
but we're like, that's beyond our bandwidth. So if anyone out there is listening and you want to give us money to put 900 units, Doug will build them and we'll get them installed right away.
Okay.
So all I'm just saying, like,
we're going to watch this, walk it all the way through, because we've been doing this since the beginning and it keeps getting better.
Since time began, tyrants.
There we go. All right. Yeah, Corsair. This is what he does. He has like, I was like eight buildings and hundreds of employees, and he's had some bitch in charge. And this is what I went down. I go, what the hell do you do here? Well, the casings that encase the robots for Intel making chips and so it's ATM, it's steel bending, breaking, powder coating, whatever, big giant.
Right.
You know, that's what he does. So
right. And by the way, Ernie, so the same thing. We work with a company out of New York, upstate New York, and there a Fujitsu, which is, you know, a company that makes thousands of ATMs and all those supermarket scanning, and they also make subway cars. So yeah, so these are the kind of facilities that we need to ramp up in and find some maybe less expensive, more competitive rates, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, let me see if I can.
What city is he in, by the way?
Chandler.
Where?
Arizona. Chandler. It's East Valley, Mesa, around there.
And, you know, we have the rights to the hardware manufacturing, so we can certainly spin up factories, get them producing our shell for it. They're called the shell.
Yeah, I only mentioned to him because, you know, he'd be interested in, he does, and kind of, and he's the man. So it's called, I'm going to send you a link to their group because.
Hey, is our hour done, Ernie, or we still have another segment?
No, we're done. We're just yakking now. It's still.
Oh, shoot. Okay, cool. I wanted to talk about the STO, Vault Logic STO.
What the hell does
people
that mean?
Security token offering. It's the new ICO, the STO.
Shit. And so how are you complying with that? What are you doing?
Well, I'll tell you. We're accredited investors only. So this is the, you know, 501, 502D or whatever the regulation is. We can take accredited investors. And what the investors are getting is a security token. And that token represents 25% of all the profit 25% of the net revenue stream from the first 500 machines that we put out in the world.
Okay, wait. Say that again. What?
So a token holder, all Logic STO token holder, has a royalty stream that the royalties come from the revenue of the crypto sales on the first 500 ATM. So every time a machine goes into a Simon Mall, that's another machine in the pool. And the STO investor, the person who invested in us, you know, is a $20,000 minimum. And that $20,000 represents about one ATM. Now, they don't own the ATM, but they own the revenue from a pool of 500 ATM.
Okay, so they're buying like a share, and then you split it up equally among each. So they're, of course, each person that is investing in these ATMs, they want to make sure they're in a high profit, high traffic area so that you don't diminish their cut.
Exactly. And they're all very motivated, of course, to make sure that we succeed. That's why they're investing in us. They're going to get 25% of the crypto revenue on the first 500 machines until they get half their money back. Then it goes to 20%. But at that point, the machines are being stabilized. They're aware of it. Crypto winter is over. And so all those revenues rise.
I know, man. Yeah. It's got to, I'm telling you, you know, it's got to be, you know, a track record of the man didn't come after you. You'll have all the money you ever wanted after a year if they didn't arrest you, you know.
Right.
You know, it's all that beginning
part. Well, and that's why. Well,
give me your email real quick. I want to send this to you. Doug, what are you at?
Doug at vaultlogic.com.
Doug at vaultlogic. What about you, Ernesto?
Yeah, I'm Ernesto dot Huerta. That's Huerta. At cryptospaceus.com.
Okay, now this is what I'm sending you is the manufacturer of the Do What You Want and the site director, Chandler. I put his name and Chandler. Because I don't want that. It's like with Tucker, you know, it was always. You get into automobile manufacturing, Tesla found this out. You know, if you're competing with the man, they'll come after you in every freaking way they can. If they can't get you over here, they'll get this manufacturer. You're not allowed to do that. Now, the software and so on and the hardware for putting a lot of this off the shelf, they're not going to be able to stop you. It's the cabinet. It's the, you know, doing whatever is special to you is where they can get you. I just want you to have an alternative so that doesn't happen and I can help. So that's why I sent it to you. So this is... Yeah, you know, this is I'm really excited, Doug, because I know you for a long time and this, and you're always a good guy. But I'm telling you, it's the fact that you are successful, that you are making it, that you are doing it, that is the threat.
I know. That's true. And Ernie, you know, we have been, you know, compliance and being under the magnifying glass of a man is going to happen. You know, we know this already. Ernesto has a compliance program that the FinCEN has crawled around inside with a flashlight and said, huh, I guess this is okay. I guess we can't stop you. He has a letter from California that says, we can't stop you.
No, they said, thank you for filling out the paperwork that we use now as a template for our buddies over at JP Morgan.
Hey,
you think, man, I'm kidding? You know, this
we'll
is
JP Morgan. We'll get JP Morgan coin on our machine. That's fine with me.
There you go.
Hey, we'll play ball. Yeah.
There you go.
But the one thing we got going for us is the inefficiency of the government in this whole
shutdown. I know.
So
but
by the time they figure it out or try to do something,
all right,
we
Doug,
how better, bigger, better system.
How old are you, Doug?
I'm 50. Let's see. My birthday was just.
Okay, so you're over 50, okay?
Yeah.
So you remember, you know, back in the day when, God, what was the point I was going with that? You're saying in compliance, I was remembering, you know, back in earlier times where it was a compliance thing. I forgot the point I was going to make. But I'm looking at the compliance that you have is the template that they're going to follow for these other guys that they go, yeah, but now you're not compliant because you don't have the minimum liquidity of the blah, 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 whatever the number is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
we have a thumbprint reader.
creepy,
yeah,
right?
And I'll tell you something that Finn said.
No, it's just like your 100,000 thing. You say, I need to have a certain amount. You know, we need our limit up so that we can keep up with the volume coming. Then you go, oh, yeah, just deposit another 100,000, and you're closed.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. And the thing is that Vincent came up to us directly and they're like, hey, good thing that you're complying and you got everything the way it is, because they said that most BTMs out there are not compliant and they're currently seizing them all. And
there's
so they're like, you're going to have a lot less competition. I was like, oh, shit. Well, we're okay.
Which sucks, but at the same time, you know, yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible. We don't like it. We want more adoption, but it's happening. They're cracking down. So.
Well, I mean, cracking down for what? To keep it in line? To keep so they got a direct line?
Slow it down. All they can do is slow crypto.
Oh, yeah. That's the point that I was going to make. When the internet first started and it was like, dial up and 50 billion CIA AOL CDs were everywhere, you know, what happened was, we had on-ramp. It was like on-ramp.com or Indirect or whatever the hell, these ISPs, when they finally started, you know, getting access other than on bulletin boards or something. Somebody had a server or a computer in their basement or whatever. You know, you were actually going to some company that then would give you kind of an on-ramp thing. Well, when they were doing, they'd go into these old buildings that were tech buildings or the IBM building downtown, and they're just kind of dated, old, but they had a bunch of phone lines going in. So what they did is these T1 lines or so on, they were going there because it had phone numbers. They had phone banks. That's what they wanted, was individual phone lines going into each modem so they have a bunch of modems. Well, then it immediately, within less than 6 months or so, just expanded to everybody was trying to get more phone lines. Well, the phone company went, nah, we want to do it, and we're going to do it, and we got it ourselves over. We kind of slow you down and do it. And there was nothing anybody could do about it because that was the bottleneck and the whole system. Yeah, it was a choke point. And I'm going, what's the choke point for you guys? The choke point is going to be liquidity. It's going to be a bank account. It's going to be compliant with whatever. And they're already hitting you at your choke point.
Yeah, they are. And the good thing is with the units, the way they work, well, okay, we'll just build in that little arbitrage for the dollars. We can bypass the banks. And, you know, we just build it to the price of the exchange fee. So people can pull out the money. And we bypass
it. And ultimately, if you know, some of our business processes do include the need to wire money and have a bank account, all that stuff. But let's say everything is closed down completely. We can still load the machine filled with cash. Cash is everywhere. We can still dispense it to people. We can still charge them money for storing their cash. We can still sell them Bitcoin.
On which side? As a crypto or as the ATM or both?
Well, when I say both sides are controlled by us. So whether that's ATM on the left side and there's an ATM company operating it independently in there that we don't have access to, that's one thing. We still have the other side, that's the recycler and storage and everything as well too. We can also have business processes where both sides are controlled by Ernesto. And that's the way it's happening at the malls right now, because the malls have a contract with another ATM company. We can't turn on the ATM in our machine in the malls. So there's an ATM company with a 7-year contract. That's fine. Ernesto can put all of his cash on the left-hand side and service his whales.
Yeah, so as the money fills up on the right side, we put that money on the left side, and whales get to go in there.
But you have to physically have somebody maintaining it going down. That's another thing. Employees, yeah. Do you have somebody at the mall that's contracted to do it? Do you got to have employees there doing it? I mean, you're all over you're spread out in infrastructure. You got a supply of something. I mean, you know, who's doing this?
This is our first big deployer. We're focusing on Southern California so that we can prove our business processes. We can figure out how often we have to go and do this swapping of cash from the left to the right. We can figure out if we can get our crowd to do it for us. You know, yeah. I've got software control from the computer to open, to dispense, to suck in, to turn on cameras. So we can say, yes, I see you there now. You are the right guy. I see your ID. You've scanned your phone. I'm going to push a button and dispense $100,000 in cash. I don't got to send an armored car there anymore.
Okay. So I imagine you're using $100 bills, you know, if you're going to be doing that much.
Probably, yep.
So $100,000, it'd be 10, 100, so it'd be a stack. So I'm thinking you're doing $500,000. You're taking up all the space in there. I mean, you know, there's how much can you put in there?
I'll tell you, the left side, three drawers. Each drawer holds 200 bills. That's 200, I mean 2,000 bills. That's $200,000 per drawer, three drawers, $600,000 just on the left side.
Okay, now that's the ATM side.
Yep, the
okay,
right
now
side.
On the BTC side is how much?
On the right-hand side, and we're saying BTM, or Ernie, but you know it's also bill pay. And,
I get
and
it, credit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, other apps. So on the right-hand side, the cash box will hold $150,000 in hundreds. It'll hold smaller amounts in the recycling mechanisms where it'll spit out change if you want it to. So the right-hand side holds, it's on our website, by the way.
Yeah, right, so $750,000, right? Yeah, three-quarters of a million.
Let's see, it's $150,000.
Well, what kind of volume are you looking at? So, I mean, how many... Don't you have some of these, and you got one there? I mean, you know, how many of these units do you have up and running?
Well, the F400 is the one with the real big capacity. There's only 10 in the world right now with 60 standing by. We've got 10 of them right here in the crypto space. One's at the mall, one's here. The smaller F300 units, I got one at the Atlanta Bitcoin Embassy with the Tuckers. There's one in Minnesota. There's one in Wisconsin with Will Pengman. There's one at the Node. There's one at a strip club in San Diego. You know, it's just... And
Will Pengman! I haven't heard that name in a while. How's Will doing?
Will Pengman and I founded Vault Logic, and he's since moved on to other things. But yeah, Will Pengman, I saw him at the Satoshi Roundtable. He's doing great.
Yeah, no, Will, I really liked him. Him and his family, yeah. they're good people.
He has a machine. He's got one of our smaller machines in a Wisconsin...
Okay, so you haven't got a high traffic, oh my God, they're lined up eight deep, you know, location
well,
yet.
Our clients are. So the Doug's machines solve our problem. So all of the first 10 F400s are all crypto space branded units, wrap, that I'm sending my clients to. I've been having to turn away business because they're too far away or for whatever reasons I need to. But now... I don't. They can go and do whatever it is they got to do, wherever it is they got to do it.
Now,
Ernesto has people walking in the door wanting to do millions of dollars a month in regulated buys and sells and trades, millions of dollars in cash.
Regulated,
yeah, because banks. I mean, forget it.
Regulated.
Right, so
regulated.
We're going to be able. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Remember,
target. Yeah.
Right. Remember, Ernie. Regulated doesn't mean. He calls the federal government, says, hey, I'm doing another...
No, it's all compliance if he's on the list, if he did, and how much, and it's done. And, yeah, you know, but it's compliant. Hey, I complied, and damn it, and I complied. And then they'll go, damn it, you complied.
If there's someone being held hostage somewhere, and there's a subpoena, they can subpoena him and look for those records. But we don't report. There's no reporting. We just have to hold Ernesto has to hold the data of his whales.
Well, you better have it easy push button of the file all goes because in 7 years of because sooner or later it's coming for everything. Get over it. Okay. Yeah. We know that anybody that uses these, anybody that's on an exchange, anybody that they just need to know this is what's going to happen and don't delude yourself. But that doesn't matter if it's convenient and it works. And yeah, I use this and I bought a $2,000 car and I didn't have to go to the bank and them ask me why I need $2,000 to go pay cash for a car on Craigslist. You can suck it. I just went to the right. Bitcoin ATM. I just did it and you can bite me and you want to go look at it. Peace. Go deal with the crypto space. Yeah, I don't care. So I understand. And that's why it's going to be popular. And that's why the man, he just don't dig it too much. Well, they're going to have to go to crypto. When the next bank, okay. Here's another thing. When they doing the, you know, Craig Wright was doing all this Bitcoin cash, you can't be private and you're all a bunch of drug dealer, child pornographer, and terrorists, and you got to be compliant, blah, 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 blah. I'm going, isn't him and Calvin, aren't they like in casino doing kind of, haven't they had the FBI come talk to them, explain the money laundering of kind of, I'm going, oh, I get what's going on. When they say, you're going to be a money launderer and you're not allowed to whatever, I know what they're doing. They're setting it up for when the next crisis, Cyprus, Greece, whatever the hell comes, which be a coming here in America. When that happens, they're going to want to have some kind of a knighting of money that went through the threshold of what threshold, take us through the threshold. And they go through and they have approved transaction that it's going to be KYC approved of their gazillions of dollars or whatever. And they, them, those get the money laundered theirs because they're sick and tired of moving around pallets of $100 bills. And I'm going, that's what's happening, is all of this is going to be money laundered for the bad guys. They're not worried about us. They want their money laundered.
Yeah, the thing is, the moment they pretty much, legitimate crypto companies can't have bank accounts. It's kind of like prohibition. When they made alcohol illegal, Al Capone came out, right? All these murders. When you make banking unattainable to crypto companies, then everything goes underground and all this other stuff happens. California should take the step like Wyoming did and give us banking, because otherwise stuff goes, it gets worse. It doesn't
underground.
Get better. Yeah. It goes underground.
Yeah.
Well, tell me,
that was Ernie's point.
Well, it's gonna happen. My point is that I think that you are going, because I know Doug being involved in this and you guys got it going on, and that's not your as much a benefit as it is a detriment in the eyes of regulators. They're going, damn it, they got a pretty machine. Damn it, they got high volume malls. Damn it, they are doing it right. Damn it. Damn it, damn it. And then they go after, and you got Five Eyes that go and do the raid on Kim.com in freaking New Zealand. I mean, come on, Doug, you know what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah. Well, we're all worried about those days that might happen, but we're going to have to, prove that we follow their freaking rules. And ultimately, Ernie, they can't win. They can't track as many people. They can't track the data. We're going to get Rootstock and all these and Lightning Network, where it's completely underground, and all the fears that they've ever had about Bitcoin being completely untrackable, untraceable, it's going to happen. And people are going to go that way. No, they screwed themselves. Just like Darth Vader, the tighter you squeeze your hands around the star systems, the more will slip through your fingers. And we want to maybe make that happen a little faster. I don't know. That's might what's be happening just behind the scenes by the natural order.
I'm with you, brother. That's it. Yep. My concern is not that you're not going to do it right, or you're not going to do it cool, or you're not going to do it. My concern is that you're going to do it too well. that is exactly, we're doing it right. And I go, oh yeah, like they're not going to come after you, So this is, what kind of timeline are we looking at, to have these ones that are already ordered deployed?
The next three this week, we're going, go ahead, Doug.
Well, yeah, the next three are going to be out this week, various locations. And then the next six or five will be, hopefully we'll be in Vegas within 6 weeks or so with these big announcements and stuff. Now the next 60, we could probably have up and running within, we need to get some orders in. We need to get a deposit in, in the next 6 months probably, or maybe even less than that, maybe faster than that. And then the next 200 to 400, because of publicity like this we're getting, end of the summer, maybe, because we have.
I want to be. Don't, Doug. You forget about me for Vegas. I'm going to be upset. Okay.
Yeah,
when I get back, we need to build up to this and so on. Because I know there's other projects we could talk about that you're involved in, but this one seems to be a common thing. You're really pushing on this.
I'm focusing
machine.
On this one. I got Ethereum. I got Mantle. I'm focusing on Vault Logic. Because it's real, it's live. I've got a deployer, Ernesto, we got to take care of and get him the units that he needs. And by the way, BitClub meets at the crypto space. They have meetups here at the crypto space. And he helps Joby Weeks BitClub. His members come in here and they do their meetings. And they can use our machine.
One thing, if you go to, he was here Saturday night, I think, or Friday. Anyway, he was here this weekend, stopped by on his way to Vegas doing something. And for the past year or so, he's been yakking about this one thing that we've been really working on is our IPFS servers. We have IPF, interplanetary file sharing servers that all the guys that are getting deplatformed. We already did Pirates Without Borders and all of Freedom's Phoenix stuff has content on IPFS. Then we had James Corbett was the one that took it most seriously over the last couple of years. We've been working with him, and we're replatforming him. So then you got Josh Segerson was here just before Christmas. We worked with him and John Simons. We just had him on last week. We got him out at Narcopoco. So these are the guys that are going on our IPFS servers, and we're syncing up all our IPFS servers with each other so that we always have these pinned files of all our content so it never goes away. We have Larkin Rose, Luke Radowski, Dan Dix, Josh Segerson, and John, James Corbett, and Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope. And that is a freaking internet as far as I'm concerned. So we have, so we're like never going down, and guy can suck it. Well, then I just, yeah. A guy in the first 2 hours today is about a mesh networking of we have and bypass the internet. And yeah, we're just going pirate, man. Pirate. But it's the money. It's all about being able to do commerce, and can, you know, we do it outside of the man? Well, yeah, but it would be easier if we could interface the two with what you guys have, the Vault Logic, which is the traditional banking system and cash, and the crypto banking system with cash. Okay, so we got cash going back and forth with a, you know, big giant barrier between the two because compliance or whatever. And I'm going, yep, this is the future. So much so that when things take a big giant, oh my God, this is going, they're going to be lined up around the building at the malls to make use of this technology. Mm-hmm. I know this, and so do you. So then you're going, damn, we're going to be too successful. Well, you better get a bunch more machines. So we went through this with Eric Voorhees and Charlie Shrem when BitInstant was doing out of New York. Eric was on the show. We did it live. We went on BitInstant. I did the, yep, I want to do it. $200. Where do I go? I go down to my bank. I went in, gave him $200. I got $194 or something. It was 3.99% or something. So I get $92 or whatever, $192 on my blockchain.info. Went to a local coin store here, a precious metals dealer that took it, you know, and I got cash, bank, cash, crypto, silver. Loop closed. Boom, they arrested Charlie. And I go, yep. I go, woohoo! The loop's closed, man. Rock and roll. BitInstant, we got to go. And no way, you're not allowed.
Yeah.
Ben Lasky does his thing. And I'm telling you, they had lawyers coming out their ass. They were spending like $8,000 a day on lawyers trying to comply and do it, and they didn't want you to comply. Ben Lasky then does all this bit license bullshit, and then everybody on that board of the New York Department of Financial Services went off to start their own private company lobbying or compliance with the license. And I'm going, well, you think that's not going to happen to you guys? Of course it is.
That's the thing. There's a new bill that's out for Calderon, one of the, I don't know if he's a congressman, senator, or whatever he calls himself.
California
has a new bill. How they pretty much almost want to make it like New York. And I read through that entire bill, and right now as we stand with our current systems, with our current liquidity, we would already be exempt. We're already ahead of the next regulation.
All right.
The point for Ernie, though, is that, we're all going to move to Wyoming. That's the answer.
Well, Arizona's pretty friendly, too. And, you know, that there's a lot of, you know, behind-the-scenes politicking and so on going here in Arizona. But my point is that with the pirate thing is that I'm going, you know, I'm not worried about being compliant. I want hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. I want your compliance don't mean nothing to me. I'm in freaking space to suck it, you know? So this is where I'm hoping we can go and what we were talking about, you know, in the first couple hours of today. So I'm really excited for you, Doug. Please keep me in. Don't forget about me because I'll be a butthead. You know, I want to go to Vegas and we'll follow and walk this all the way through because the only protection I think you guys are getting is the knowledge that you're compliant, that this is open, that it is doing everything that is asked of you. It's out in the open, and you're competing against they, them, those. They're the very people that are going to be targeting you using their shiny badge government with a gun guy to try and prevent competition and maintain their monopoly with the noose around all of our necks, when especially when the economy is going to hit and do whatever is going to happen here directly. So that is the only protection I see that you guys have in this space, is us being diligent and following this through and how you're complying and all the bullshit that they do, because they're not freedom people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Ernie, I'm trying to find out. I'm going to look for Arizona, Simon Malls here. So we got Arizona Mills. Here we go.
Yep.
There's three of them. You got Arizona Mills, Phoenix Premium Outlets, and Tucson Premium Outlets. Those are all Simon properties.
Okay. I'm familiar with Arizona Mills. It's one of the big, up and coming, been around long enough.
Legoland there.
Yeah, no. This is the transition in the East Valley. It's a big mall. There's some others that are kind of waxing and waning, and they're kind of go. But this is one of the more stable ones here in the Valley. So that's a better choice than most. So this is and it's in the high tech. It's right by Intel. So you're over with the techie guys anyway. It's like the Silicon Valley of the Valley here. I mean, that kind of
thing. Right.
So, that's good. They got a lot of good attractions and so on there.
So don't know when we'll be moving out to those other locations yet. We've got to work. Our manufacturing is a choke point for us also.
Saying. You got that. I got you hooked up and kind of do it.
Right. You might need to follow up with your son.
No, I already sent it to you. I sent you the links and stuff. I did my part. Peace, man. You're proud now.
So I got guys in the back here who are working on the next machine to roll them out, so I got to go make sure everything's good with them.
Hey, thanks for spending this extra time. Yeah. Ernesto, it's good to make your acquaintance, and I'm rooting for you. But I've been through this with Doug and everybody in the space over and over. You guys are more vulnerable when you're successful and compliant.
We're taking all the arrows. I mean, it's been a constant battle. It's a currency war. It's just with everything. It hasn't been easy, but we're paving a path, and we hope that people, make use of it.
No. You guys keep doing what you're doing, and I want to make sure that, we at least chronicle it of what's happening, because I can, I can see we're doing, God, there's so much stuff I'd love to tell you about, Doug. Well, next time I see you, we go do and hang and dinner and chill, and I get you all updated on everything. But I'll tell you, a lot of this is going to depend on your guys' success for us to be able to survive what's coming next, because I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep. Ernie, talk to you soon, man. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, peace, guys. Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Bye. Bye.